You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I want to start the broadcast today by simply underscoring a very sad reality within the Christian church. We are failing to make disciples, much less reproducing disciple makers. And we are, as a result of all of this, losing an average of 7 out of 10 evangelical teens every single year. All the while, we are elevating style over substance, technique over theology, and in essence have lost our first love. Movements have replaced the move of the Spirit. Organizations are replacing organic realities. And that leaves us with a bottom line question. Are we passionate about the good news, or are we willing to build altars while the world perishes? Put another way, are we willing to do for the truth what cults are willing to do for a lie? They show up on the doorstep. And as D.L. Moody rightly said, where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you or me. You have been called not only to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, but a reproducing disciple maker. I've often suggested that anyone who is willing to go to heaven alone may not be going to heaven at all. If you have been the recipient of the most incredible gift imaginable, the quintessential gift, the greatest gift of all time, would you not want that gift to be given to another? Now, in all of that, I'm not suggesting that we should start running around frantically, grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? Or sister, are you saved? No, what I am suggesting is that we ought to be equipped for evangelism, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. If that were the case, we would not be shrinking. We would be growing, because we have the best news the world has ever or will ever hear. The news that we can be restored to a right relationship with the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Sharon. She's listening in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Hank. It is good to speak with you. Thank you for accepting my call. I'm relatively new to Bible study, so I much appreciate your program.
Thank you.
My question is, in several of the Gospels like Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was not physically recognized by his disciples after his resurrection. Only when he spoke or broke bread with them were their eyes open. Might Paul have addressed this in 1 Corinthians 15:35-49? But someone, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians,
sure. Yeah.
And this is Paul. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? And then he says more about this further through that chapter.
You know, that's brilliant, actually, when you think about it. I think that's part of the answer to the question, because there is a sense in which the glorified body is vastly different than the body that preceded it. It's the same physically, but likely it is different organizationally, and we have a sense of that in Metamorphosis. The caterpillar is vastly different from the butterfly. After its constituent parts devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture, out of that comes a being that is altogether other. So the resurrected or glorified body may be distinctly different from the body that was. So I think that paralleling that with 1 Corinthians 15 is actually a brilliant insight on your part. But I would say something more about this, and that is, if you look at what the text actually says in Luke, for example, is that the disciples were kept from recognizing Jesus Christ. And there are some systemic reasons that keep us from that recognition. One of them is that the disciples of Jesus Christ could not get over the notion that Jesus was a parochial Jewish Messiah who was going to establish a Jewish theocracy. In other words, they were going to be taken out from under the heel of Rome, and that's what they longed for. And when Jesus did not fulfill those expectations, they did not recognize him for who he was. And I think that is a big part of the problem. You know, as has been well said, the Lord lives in enough light so that if we, through faith, believe, we can identify him. But if we do not, he continues to remain in obscurity. So I think the keeping from seeing who Jesus Christ was a lack of faith on the part of the disciples and a lack of understanding that resurrection was in view, not a religious theocracy.
Yes. Well, I appreciate the answer, and I will meditate on this. thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mary next in Moses Lake, Washington. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. My question was, where did God come from? As far as who created him, I needed to give an answer about that.
Sure.
And I couldn't give an answer because I've never thought about it.
Yeah. Well, here's the answer. Unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and he is eternal. And therefore, an infinite, eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. And therefore, God is uncreated. The universe, according to modern science, demands a creator. But the creator of the universe does not. And to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have had a cause, of course, simply leads to a logical dead end. Simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion, it didn't spring out of nothing, and it has not eternally existed. So the bottom line is there's only one plausible possibility left, and that is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joel. He's listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Joel.
Hello, Hank. Thank you very much for taking this call. The New Testament in particular makes a distinction between lost people and believers and their minds. You know, believers are told to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, but unbelievers are said to have calloused minds. So could you just talk about that just a little bit? And I hope that's not too vague.
No, that's a very good question. And you're absolutely right. In Romans chapter 12, we are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, i.e. calloused mind, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and his pleasing will. So we need to renew our minds. How do you do that? Well, our mind is renewed by a focus on the principles of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has different principles and precepts than the kingdom of the world. And so we are to renew our minds by focus on the principles of God's kingdom. which leads to the illumination of the mind. The reality is that reason without revelation always leads to the blind ditch of ignorance. You can be in a cave that's pitch dark. You can have 20/20 eyesight but not see a thing. Why? Because it is pitch dark. But when revelation invades the darkness, then our reason is illumined. And as a result of that, we see things as they are, as opposed to seeing them with the what you mentioned as a calloused mind, or a mind that is not open to the realities of the supernatural. And this is one of the things that philosophical naturalists struggle with. What they have is a closed worldview. They only allow for natural explanations. They don't allow for the possibility of supernatural explanations for the things that they encounter in this world. We'll be back in just a moment.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7.
To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Gary listening in Illinois. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. Could you give me a good answer to give a Jehovah's Witness concerning the Trinity?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, first and foremost, have a caricature of the Trinity. When we say Trinity, we are saying that there's one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Put in simple terms, there's one what and three who's. When we talk about the nature of God, he is one in essence or nature. But within the Godhead, there are personal distinctions. And so when we talk about person, we're not talking about person as used in common vernacular, but rather we're talking about identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. So again, the Jehovah's Witnesses have a caricature of the Trinity, and as a result of that, they teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God invented by Satan, and that Jesus is merely a God. In Watchtower theology, Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael. During his earthly sojourn, he was merely human, and after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So because they make a caricature out of the Trinity, they have to invent their own philosophically driven idea of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah, I tried to explain, but you know, sometimes people aren't going to listen. And he doesn't argue with me, but he just, you know, his question, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus Christ, he says, I believe he's the Son of God, but he's not God, because why is he praying to himself then? And then I'm like, well, I'm not going to get into all kinds of little details that,
well,
you know,
of course, he's not praying to himself. He's praying to the Father.
Right. But he doesn't get it, you know, that he and the Father are one. But he says, well, if he's God, then he's praying to himself. And I said, no, he's praying to the Father.
He says, well, that's right.
He's not God. Yeah.
That's right. And that's why we're talking about interpersonal relationships within the Godhead. And you also have to recognize that in the incarnation, Jesus Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. And in his incarnation, he voluntarily veils the prerogatives of divinity. And thus, he is praying to his Father from the perspective of his humanity, in many cases in the Scriptures. And while this is very difficult to fully comprehend, we do apprehend what the Bible says, and we bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us. What the Jehovah's Witnesses attempt to do is remake God in a way that is understandable, but the finite can never fully comprehend the infinite. And we will spend an eternity seeking to do that. So the real issue is not to argue. The real issue is to be equipped. If someone's open, then you can use your well-reasoned answer. If they're not, you can't force-feed anybody.
Right. Okay. I just needed confirmation on that. I thank you, Hank, for your answer.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sean in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I have a question. I randomly was watching Bill Maher a few weeks ago, and I can't stand him, but he brought up a good point, and I hear it often critiquing Christianity, and that is, how do we deal with Israel and God slaying, you know, a lot of people in the Old Testament, whether it be the Benjamites or the Canaanites, and kind of how would you answer that attack against Christianity, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think you always have to look at context. Would we have a great deal of difficulty in eliminating someone like Hitler? When these kinds of things happen, we typically rejoice because we think of them as moral monsters, and therefore their demise is celebrated. In the biblical sense, however, God always acts with infinite love and infinite justice. So there is no one who is more long-suffering, no one who is more loving, and no one who renders such exacting judgment, such that if we knew all the converging factors, we would never think of God as the moral monster. And in fact, there's a book that we promoted for a long time on the air. It's titled, Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's written by Paul Copan. It's an absolutely fantastic book. But what it does is it provides us the context. And people like Bill Maher, quite frankly, they're good at being punmeisters, but they're not very good at literature. And as a result of that, Bill Maher at one time believed in a 5,000-year-old universe, he said. I mean, that's the exact number that he claims. And he believes all kinds of things which are caricatures of Scripture, have nothing whatsoever to do with Scripture. Whether the universe is 5,000 years old or not isn't discussed in the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't give us a chronology, and therefore, failing to be able to understand chirology, he becomes someone who makes fun of that which he does not understand. If you look at what happened with respect to the nations who were evil, who were sacrificing children on altars, even in those cases, God was infinitely long-suffering. The sin of the Canaanites went on and on for century after century after century before God finally lowers the axe of his judgment. But even in these cases, when people repent, when people do not follow the detestable ways of paganism, they are then redeemed. So you see within the Canaanite culture, a person like Rahab, who comes to follow Yahweh, the God of Israel, and is in the lineage of Jesus Christ, or Ruth, who is a Moabite, the arch enemy of Israel, she too in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So God, in terms of the conquest of the land under Joshua, caused a gradual conquest, and those who feared God were protected. And there's no indication whatsoever, as you look at the actual literature, if you read the Bible carefully, that there was a Canaanite Holocaust. In fact, large parts of Canaan, including Jerusalem, remained under Canaanite jurisdiction. And the battles chronicled in Joshua are aimed at dethroning the kings from north to south, whose religious dictatorship not only mocked the Creator, but made snake worship, fertility cults, child sacrifice, prostitution of women, and so forth, the norm. And so what you see within these cultures is the depth of human depravity. And if you have the depth of human depravity, it has to be dealt with. And God uses means. And so who are we to say that those means are incorrect, any more than we would say that dethroning Saddam Hussein was incorrect? He exacted genocide on tens of thousands of his own people, and therefore dethroning him or even assassinating him was hailed as something that was good, not denounced as something that was bad. And certainly this is true with Osama bin Laden. You don't hear Bill Maher say that that was a horrible thing.
Right. Well, I think that's a good answer. I kind of, you know, I know even young Christians can get tripped up on this and go, well, how is God so good and loving when, you know, he killed that? And kind of my answer, honestly, Hank, it's kind of along the same lines, but it's, how is God so loving that he would save such a depraved, fallen world through his son, Jesus Christ? So it kind of depends on, I think, how you look at it a little bit as well.
Well, and I think that's a brilliant observation on your part. I mean, I think that the emphasis makes all the difference in the world. I mean, the ultimate question is the question that you broach. How could God condescend to save any one of us? For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us as unjust people.
Well, that definitely answers my question. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to people humbling themselves before God and just being willing to say, his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and I submit to that, which is hard to find in our culture these days.
Yeah, and that's right as well. I mean, God's martial instructions are qualified by his moral intentions to spare the repentant. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And not only were Rahab and her family spared on account of her faith, but she was allowed to live among the Israelites. And as I said, she came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So God's desire to spare pagans is because of the change of heart. They no longer continue in detestable ways. And you see this even with the pagan city of Nineveh. You see God's mercy for the repentant that actually exceeds that of human beings. Here, Jonah was so upset that God was going to spare Nineveh. I mean, he was more in the vein of wanting to exude their destruction, but God, because they repent, withholds the acts of his judgment.
That's another good point. I think you just see the strings of God's grace even when, because people take that faulty view thinking the Old Testament God is different or something like that, when I think when you really look closely, it's clear that that's obviously not the case. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate that. That's a good answer, and it kind of confirms the answer God was already kind of speaking to me through his word as well.
Well, appreciate your call, Sean. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.